Todd Furman with us now from the desert. Former odds maker at Caesar's Palace, now with BetTheBoardPodcast.com. Rockstar, I hit the wrong button and hung up on him. BetTheBoardPodcast.com is where we find Todd Furman. In just a moment, he'll be with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline.
As always, when the CBS folks get a big doubleheader weekend, 2:30 primetime, the 11 o'clock window's fantastic. Texas, Oklahoma this week, Michigan, Indiana in that window, TCU and Kansas in that window,
yep.
Tennessee, LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi State in that window early on.
Yeah, Furman back with us. That is on me. Furman, my first day with fingers. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I mean, I've never hosted a radio show myself. I imagine someone that's got as many hours behind the board as you do wouldn't make those kind of mistakes there, Brownie. I'm a little disappointed in your answer.
Everybody has a bad game, Furman. You know that. Furman with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline, BetTheBoardPodcast.com, at Todd Furman on Twitter. When Vegas is giving us the Bama Texas A&M line, who are they making the assumption are the two starting quarterbacks in this game?
You know what's funny? We actually had that debate today and we broke the game down on the Bet the Board podcast. And some of my colleagues believe that it suggests that we will indeed see Bryce Young out there under center. For me, I don't make nearly as big a downgrade if Young can't go in this particular matchup, given how bad Texas A&M has been against the run. I'm almost convinced that Bama would have to throw the ball 3 to 5 times and would still be able to have a high level of success. We saw them begin to unleash Jahmyr Gibbs last week. We saw what they could do against Arkansas, which doesn't provide much resistance. But A&M hasn't exactly been stout in the trenches. Now, I know they've played a very difficult schedule, but at the same time, getting back to your original question, I think this is with Bryce Young in there. What's more interesting is that the total really doesn't quite indicate who odds makers believe will be under center for Alabama.
So do you think it's Max Johnson on the other side? Do you think that hand is healed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really doesn't matter, honestly, for A&M. If they were smart, I'd probably play Haynes King because he at least gives you a puncher's chance when the offensive line serves to be matador so he could run for his life.
Yeah.
Max Johnson is sitting duck, but we have seen Max play halfway decently in the past against Alabama, but obviously much bigger concerns as far as point spread implications are concerned with who Alabama will have out there other than A&M.
You know, 2 weeks ago, Oklahoma's probably a 7-plus point favorite. We've seen their defense completely implode the last 2 weeks. But same question, Texas-Oklahoma. Is this number indicative at all of who they think is going to be starting at quarterback for both Texas and Oklahoma?
So interesting on this game, if you would have had a chance to bet it during the summer, which everybody did, you were looking at Texas, a 7-point underdog in this particular game. Coming into the season, for me, I made the game closer to 3 with Alabama installed as a short favorite. But to your point, LT, Oklahoma has definitely disappointed a heck of a lot more than Texas so far. And it's not just losing games. It's the way that they lost last week against TCU. When you give up 4 touchdowns of 60-plus and you have former players starting to point fingers about will they even be able to get this defense figured out. Now, as far as the numbers concerned, this tells me that Dillon Gabriel is a long shot to be out there under center for Oklahoma, and it suggests that Quinn Ewers will probably start for Texas. Now, given what we've seen from Hudson Card, though, I only make about a 1 to 1.5 point adjustment for the changing quarterback there. Dillon Gabriel, the Davis Bevel, and some of the other quarterbacks that Oklahoma has, that's more substantial. That's in that 6 to 7 range. With so many questions swirling here, I think it's favorite or pass if you want to get involved here. The one tricky part is that this series has been extremely close, and regardless of who's been favored, largely Oklahoma, they've now played 9 straight one-possession games, and we saw a ridiculous comeback last year. So you may have a little bit of an appetite for OU, but if Gabriel's officially ruled out, this number is only going to continue to climb.
Todd, I like Tennessee to stick the landing and get to the Alabama game unbeaten, 11 o'clock Baton Rouge against LSU straight out of game day, but I get the feeling there's some wavering on the desk with me here. What do you think of the Volunteers' trip to the Bayou?
You know, for me, the number here, I don't see a whole lot of value. I have Tennessee inside my top 10 this year and LSU right outside the top 10. So if you're making the adjustments for home field advantage, and I know we kind of talked a little bit about it, I think last week, you know, difference between a day game and a night game at Tiger Stadium. If this game was at night, you would have to add about 1.5, maybe upwards of 2 points to LSU's power number in this particular spot. A little bit of a different dynamic with the early kickoff, Tennessee having the schedule advantage coming in off the bye. From an X's and O's standpoint, LSU was extremely fortunate to win last weekend, one of the lowest win expectancies that we've seen in college football in quite some time. They needed that defensive score to kind of spark their offense and to get them going. And if Jaden Daniels goes 8 of 20 again in this spot, I just don't see how LSU has the firepower. Now, Brian Kelly has said the right things. He claims the defense will be a little bit more buttoned up, and Tennessee can be vulnerable in its secondary. For me, though, I just don't like the matchup. No value in the number, but I would lean Tennessee. Probably will not be a game that I tangle with.
Furman, like most gamblers, I'm very superstitious, and I just went on a bad run of these early games. The 9 o'clock kicks for you, 11 for us. Do you ever have troubles with the early games, the early slate?
You know, every now and again, it's a little bit different because I think so much of what we do for handicapping college football and even college basketball to a lesser extent is trying to get inside the minds of these 18 to 20-year-olds and figuring out from a psychological standpoint who gets the edge and how those things will work. Typically, when you're playing earlier in the day and you're a home team, if you start slowly, I've seen in the past that it can typically snowball on you because the crowd's looking for a reason to not pay attention. They're not necessarily going to be as energetic to get you back into the mix. But the reality of it is, LT, other than superstition and us being gamblers and our brains playing jokes on us, I don't think there's any discernible trends as far as sides, totals, underdogs, favorite roles, or anything along those lines, other than making sure you make minor adjustments based on home field advantage given time of day.
Todd Furman with us, BetTheBoardPodcast.com. Also, former oddsmaker for Caesars Palace, at Todd Furman on Twitter is where you find him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Is UCLA a paper tiger? And now they're catching points. Utah coming to UCLA, but really the only good win they have is Washington. I did think that was impressive, but they are a 4.5-point dog at home to Utah.
An extremely intriguing game and arguably one of the most fascinating of the day for me to try and continue to wrap my head around what this Pac-12 pecking order will look like. And there's also a battle taking place in the betting market here. Utah opened at 3 and there were a lot of folks out there that said this number is way too short when you consider Washington was priced the same way. And there's nobody out there that has Washington and Utah listed as a pick'em on a neutral field. Number got as high as 4.5, and that's where there was started to be significant resistance earlier today. And you're seeing 3.5, kind of the consensus price tag here. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is always the X factor with UCLA. And the quarterback we saw Friday night against Washington was outstanding. Didn't turn the ball over, used his legs to extend plays, and threw for over 300 yards. When I look at Utah, there are some concerns I have with this Utes team, knowing that they haven't been nearly as good defensively away from home as we've seen at Rice-Eccles Stadium. They're down one of their key cogs offensively in a tight end, which I think changes some of what they can do offensively. And the bigger issue for them is that they haven't been able to run the ball consistently. Tavian Thomas, their lead back, has been bottled up at times, and it's been all about Cam Rising's development. So this is a game that I don't really have strong convictions on. I actually made the game 3.5, so I'm perfectly comfortable with where the market sits, but I'm definitely going to watch this and figure out which of these teams is for real and which of these teams may be significantly flawed going forward.
A loss to Texas A&M and then to Alabama. What do you make of what was a really highly thought of Arkansas team now playing at Mississippi State, who seems to have found their rhythm now?
I think this is an Arkansas team that has way more questions defensively than I ever anticipated coming into the year. And when I watched them week one in its entirety against Cincinnati, and they gave up a couple big plays over the top, I attributed that more to inexperience and just communication breakdowns. But that's something that we've seen week in, week out right now. And even last week, when they got back in the game against Alabama, they provided zero resistance on the ground. The big question with this game is the status of KJ Jefferson. Sam Pittman earlier today said Jefferson hasn't practiced this week. So I think it's suffice to say that we all have to operate under the assumption that he won't be out there. And that's kind of what the betting market tells us, is this number opened as low as 6. We're out to 9, and the total started to tick down a little bit today with that news. I think it's a lay it or don't play it type scenario. I typically don't love backing teams in the wake of a big performance like we saw from Mississippi State last week. But amazing to think, if it wasn't the fourth quarter against LSU, we'd be talking about this Bulldogs team being undefeated and living up to preseason expectations where I actually had them inside my top 12.
Okay, the Bulldog team that looked invincible the first 3 weeks, Georgia, the last couple of weeks, they've been really shaky, laying 29.5. I'm going to assume this is the biggest number in this rivalry's history. I could be wrong on that, but this seems like a body bag type game for Auburn coming on the road for the first time this year.
Shaky may be kind, given what we saw from Georgia, who we thought had a wake-up call with the sluggish effort at Sanford Stadium against Kent State. They followed up on the road, and if Missouri makes an extra play or two, we have arguably one of the biggest upsets we've had in quite some time, given the national championship chase implications with the defending champions in Georgia. But you look at this game here, Auburn is going to have a real difficult time moving the football. I'm not going to be fooled by Robbie Ashford's performance last week, where he threw for more than 300 yards against LSU. Somewhere along the way, Georgia is going to get back to doing what they do best, and that's stifling you on defense, even without Jerron Carter defensively, and being able to move the football consistently on the offensive side. there was a little bit of noise in those numbers. Georgia was better in the second half than the final score indicated. And yeah, I would want no part of Auburn here. I'm a little bit surprised, though, this total hasn't ticked down some. Obviously, a correlation between Georgia covering the number and Auburn not scoring. So I could see a little favorite under correlated parlay here if you so desired.
Washington State, USC, BYU, Notre Dame, Clemson, Boston College, Florida State, NC State. Get the thoughts from Furman at Bet the Board podcast. One more college game before we flip the script. Oregon and Arizona, late night Pac-12 network. Are you starting to put Bo Nix in your Heisman conversation?
Bo Nix has not yet entered the chat for Heisman contention just yet. But at the same time, I have been mildly impressed with the way Oregon has rebounded nicely from that potentially debilitating loss week one against Georgia, which I think was more about the Bulldogs than anything that Coach Lanning was trying to build. I look at the Pac-12 pecking order, and for me, I actually think Oregon has an excellent chance to win this conference. Now, do I think they go out there and blow Arizona away as nearly a two-touchdown favorite in this spot? Probably not. But at the same time, I think both these offenses are going to have a tremendous amount of success moving the football against their defensive counterparts. And when I look at the total at 70.5, the only way for me to look would be going over Pac-12 After Dark in a game that nine people across the country will be able to watch on Pac-12 Network.
If I see these right, I see to win the World Series, Dodgers 3-1, Strohs 4-1, Braves and Yankees 5-1. Do I have those right? And give me your thoughts on the baseball overall, just on the baseball postseason coming up.
You know, it all depends on which book you're looking at. And so, obviously, if you look around some spots, you can find the Braves upwards of 7-1. This new playoff format, I think, is going to be very interesting because the one thing we've seen from baseball players in the past is they're all creatures of habit. So now, suddenly, you allow these teams playing the extra wild card series, even if they have to burn through some of their top arms, a chance to build some of that momentum. And it's even in the one-game eliminations that we saw in the wild card in the past, you typically have one of those teams steal a series. So for me, if I'm trying to look and identify a little bit of value on the betting board, the team that I would try and circle would be the San Diego Padres. It's a team that struggled for extended stretches late in the season, or I was going to say right around the trade deadline, but has been playing better baseball, and it's flying under the radar a little bit unnoticed. I think their pitching staff is underrated offensively. They're significantly better than the Mets, and while the Mets have a huge edge in starters, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Padres were able to win that series and make a little bit of noise in the National League, because I think the Dodgers are flawed as well.
You know, I'm interested to get your thoughts on Philadelphia and the NFL, the Eagles, the last unbeaten team. Do you think that team's good enough to make it to the Super Bowl?
I think they've answered a lot of the questions early on, and the one nice thing that Philadelphia has working for them, when you dig into their schedule, it's about as easy as it gets by NFL standards. I mean, you try and go through the upcoming opponents here. You get Dallas and Pittsburgh at home, road games at Indianapolis and Houston. I mean, other than the Christmas Eve game against the Cowboys, that may be the first time that we see the Philadelphia Eagles installed as an underdog during the course of the regular season going forward. I want to see more from Jalen Hurts. I think he's starting to get significantly more comfortable leading the offense. He's shown an ability to spread it around. And Philadelphia found another gear last week. They spot Jacksonville that 14-0 lead early. They put their foot to the accelerator in the second quarter and are able to suck the life out of you. So I think Philadelphia is the real deal, especially in an NFC that's lacking a true runaway favorite.
All right, BetTheBoardPodcast.com is the website. BetTheBoardPodcast.com. Follow Furman on Twitter at Todd Furman, the former odds maker at Caesars Palace. Enjoy the games, Furman. We always appreciate the time.
Hey, always a pleasure, gentlemen. You guys do the same this weekend.
All right, buddy. BetTheBoardPodcast.com is how you support Furman. He was with us on the Johnston RVCenter.com hotline.